It's time for another edition of the At Your Service podcast, part of the Branson Podcast Network. I'm Scott McCauley, and although this is something you won't know listening, but we've kind of returned home. I'll give you the story real quick before we get into our show today, because as we've told it on several of our other podcasts a few weeks ago, we were hit by lightning and had a major lightning hit here at the studio. It knocked out three of our computers. It knocked out numerous internet ports, and including our home studio for this podcast, which is our Grand Country studio, which we share with Legends 106.3. The on-air studio was fine, but the recording computer that we record not only these shows but all, like, my Ozarks Now programs, it was gone. It was toast. So the last, I guess, three shows we've done, two with the Conservation Department and one of our Stone County Community Health Coalition podcasts, the last three shows we've done, we had to do in an alternate studio. But we are back home in our home studio, first time in a while. We got everything where it's supposed to be, and that is good indeed. The good news is we have several studios and other locations that we tape other shows for the Branson Podcast Network, so we invite you to go dial around and check that up. So for our first At Your Service podcast back in our home studio, we're going to be visiting with the Missouri Department of Conservation in what we call our Conservation Report. And delivering this week's report, gentlemen, we haven't heard from him in a while, but he is still out there and going strong. It's Stone County agent Dan Aiken. Dan, how you doing today?
Hey, Scott, I'm doing great. So is alternate studio, is that kind of like an alternate universe or something?
It kind of seems like that.
That's where I've been at for a while.
Yeah, I know. Well, yeah, we were sharing technology stories here. The thing is, the studio, it's a great studio, but it's just not set up for this show. So we had to move some stuff around. And we've actually used that studio for this show before when we've had scheduling conflicts. So it's not like we've never used the studio, but this was one, at one time, it was the only studio we had. So we actually had to kind of coordinate our schedules to make sure we got everything recorded. And that got a little dicey at time. Not that anyone was mad, it was just you're trying to get everyone in.
Yes.
However, Dan, yes, as you were sharing with me, had a little bit of a different problem because explain,
Scott,
what happened here.
Listening to your story, that might have been the problem with my phone. Maybe my phone got struck by lightning and I lost all my calendar dates only for this radio show. So it was a very selective delete of my calendar. So I think I've missed a show or two, and I apologize to that for you and your listeners, but hopefully today we can get back on track, and looks like I can add those dates back into my calendar and make sure that I am on At Your Service here on your radio show.
Yeah.
on the future date.
Yeah, yeah, so you can get that, and it won't be any conversation for any of the other agents. So we did get a chance to meet Alex Walker, who's the new Christian County agent. He was actually, Quentin actually brought him here to the studio a few weeks ago, and then he actually did the radio show last week. He's added to the rotation. And the good news is that Michaela Leppert now has a partner in Christian County, but because Kirby Bridges is no longer with the department, you're kind of going solo in Stone County for a while.
Yeah, so to give the listeners a little update, Christian County has never had two agents stationed in it. It's always been a single agent county. And as most people know, in the last 50 years, Christian County has grown exponentially. And they have finally decided to add a second agent there, and Alex Walker is a very good addition to our district team down here. He's hit the ground running. I don't even think he took time to fully move into his house. He just hit it going and is making a lot of good cases out there for us, and connecting with the community very well. But on the flip side, as you alluded to, we did lose Kirby Bridges, longtime agent here. She's been an agent for about 12 years, and she was in Stone County for at least 10 of those 12 years. She has moved on to greener pastures and went to the U.S. Marshals Service. So I sure do miss her. She's been a great partner while she was here, and she has moved on and will be greatly missed.
Yeah, and we talked about this process several times because as we've been doing this show, we've gone through this. I know we went through that in Taney County several years ago when an agent left and one was replaced and those things. But there is a process that the Conservation Department now goes through to fill the position in Stone County, which is has always been a two-agent county. And I know there will be, I guess, is there like any timetable that this usually happens, or is it just kind of based on availability?
Yeah, there's a timetable. So basically, with all law enforcement agencies, there is a max amount of number of uniformed officers that we can actually have. So that the two county agent assignment here in Stone County is still there. We was able to add one, which was the Christian County agent. So we will still get an agent here. Basically, the way it works with us is whenever there's a class of agents that's getting ready to start, they will open up the vacant counties to the agents that are already employed with the department. And those individuals will get first dibs at selecting a lateral transfer. And then if nobody takes one of those, so if Stone County comes open at the beginning of the next training class and nobody takes it, and then I will get somebody new out of the training academy. So our next training academy is scheduled to start the hiring process in about 8 months. So I'll be by myself for about 8 months, and then hopefully somebody throughout the state will transfer into Stone County. But if somebody doesn't, then it will be another additional, probably additional 8 months through the hiring process and our 6 months training in order to get somebody here. So it can be as quick as 8 months, but if not, it will be about 16 months. And so it's a slow process sometimes.
And one of the things, you know, we've all talked about this in the past, one of the process, and that's the reason I'm kind of spending a little time on this, because I think it's kind of interesting going through this. We've always talked about, I think every agent that's been on this show has said that, yes, you are assigned a county, but you're not really there by yourself. I mean, I know you can get help from Quentin and Chris over here in Taney County, and from Michaela and Alex and Christian and some of the other counties. I mean, there are some support to help you when needed. It's just that you're going to have to kind of rely on borrowing a little help for a while.
We're kind of unique in our law enforcement duties that we are statewide law enforcement, and we are assigned to a county. So we kind of have a home county, but we can go anywhere in the state and enforce the code, the wildlife code of the state of Missouri, where as like your deputies or your park rangers or something like that, your deputies only has jurisdiction inside that county. So there's unique situations where they can go outside of the county and work, but for the majority of their duties, it's going to be spent inside that county. And your park services, they usually only have jurisdiction inside the park system in which they are assigned, or other parks along, you know, in the state of Missouri. But so like a park ranger really couldn't come over here to Cape Fair and help me out with a deer regulation or something like that. But yes, so to answer your question, I could always get a hold of Quentin Fronterhouse or Chris Boyd, and they would come over and help me out with a project or a situation that I might have that I need help to do. So, and don't forget, I always can still call on Dan Vanderhoff and Daniel Shores too. So
yeah, so a lot of help there, and of course there's a lot of things coming up that will keeping people's attention. Yeah, that's what in fact it was interesting when you talked about Alex Walker hitting the ground running. That's almost the identical words he used when he was on the show last week. That's kind of what happened. And you know what, deer season is here. Of course, we're already in the archery season. We've already had some special seasons. Kind of update us where we are there.
Yeah, absolutely, and that's where I was going to lead my first story of the day is we just came out of a brand new season this year. I've gotten comments from people that didn't have any idea about it to people that really took full advantage of it. So it was kind of a hodgepodge of deer hunting this weekend as far as the deer hunting community. And what I'm talking about is we had a three-day special antlerless only deer season, and that ran from October 6th through the 8th. And believe it or not, we had 16,575 antlerless deer harvested and checked during that time. Your top three counties for the state was Franklin, Howell, and Ripley County. And each one of those counties had about 450 deer checked in. Your local counties here, Stone, Taney, Christian, Berry County, we all hovered right in that 250 deer harvest for those three-day seasons. And deer numbers are at a very desired level. However, the population is continuing to increase. And anybody that drives the roads here in the Ozarks can testify to that they're seeing a lot more deer while they're out driving, especially if you got to go to work early in the morning or coming back late in the evening. And we need to have a couple of seasons here to help get that population back in check. And that's what our deer hunting regulations, the deer hunting seasons are scheduled to do.
So with that being said, you know, we mentioned those seasons. Obviously, obviously the word got out to a lot of folks because there were a lot of people harvesting deer this weekend, and were able to take advantage of that. And and so that was good. Of course, you know, you mentioned it a little bit earlier. We have a very long deer season because archery deer season goes on through all this, right?
Yes, correct. And talking about weather, I mean, the weather during that 3-day season could not have been better. We had a perfect cool down there. Looks like there's another one scheduled for this weekend. So basically, right now what we have left is we have the firearms November portion, the granddaddy of all the deer seasons. That's when the majority of our deer will be harvested, and that is running from November the 11th through the 21st. New this year is an extension on that season, not statewide, but for counties that have chronic wasting disease in them. So you need to pick up a booklet or go online and see if the county that you're hunting in falls into this CWD portion. And that is going to be November 22nd through the 26th. And then there's firearms late youth portion, which will be coming up on November 24th and 26th. And then we have a firearms late antlerless portion, December 2nd through the 10th, again in open counties. And then we have the firearms antlerless portion, which used to be called the muzzleloader season, and that runs December 23rd through January the 2nd, with your archery season running that entire time except during the firearms deer season. Archery season does close down. So basically, we are just kicking off at this last weekend of an early deer season, and you have basically from now until January the 15th to get out and harvest a deer. So I don't know how many more opportunities we can give hunters to get out there and hunt. You just got to make time to go out there and hunt, because the dates and the times and the amount of deer that can be harvested are very liberal here in the state of Missouri. So get out and harvest a deer this year.
Yeah, and keep in mind, although, again, all that's information we found in the pamphlets and the website, to make sure to get those dates down. I know probably most of the people listening to this probably already aware of those, but just as a reminder, and also to make sure you have the proper tags for the proper season and get that all lined up. Dan, what else is on your mind today?
And one other thing to mention on that real quick is make sure to be up to date on your Hunter Orange requirements. Just because you're archery hunting and you may not have to wear Hunter Orange the majority of the time, some of those seasons, like during the antlerless season, the archery hunters were required to wear Hunter Orange. So that is something to be very cognizant, be aware of, because things have changed over the years with all these special seasons. If there's a firearm season going on, you may have to go wear Hunter Orange during that time, even though you are archery hunting. And folks, that's just for your safety. I'd rather get busted by a deer wearing Hunter Orange, even though they technically can't see Hunter Orange. It would be much better to lose the chance of shooting a deer instead of getting shot by an individual that may have not saw you or seen you. So wear Hunter Orange anytime that you're out there, especially during times whenever it's required by state law.
Yeah, and one thing we've talked about several times along those lines, even if it's not required, hey, there's nothing saying you can't wear it anytime. So it may not be a bad idea to wear it anytime.
That's exactly right. I wear it in the woods even whenever I'm not hunting, especially in the times that I'm moving during archery season. If I'm moving from my vehicle to my stand, I'll throw a Hunter Orange hat on during archery season, even though it's not required, because just because you're supposed to be the only person out there hunting on a piece of property and maybe the season isn't even open for rifle season, not everybody may listen to the regulations and pay attention to the regulations. So keep in mind, it's a good idea to go ahead and wear that Hunter Orange.
Dan, I mean, we're already almost 15 minutes into it, so I think we've waited long enough. Because when Dan Aiken is on the phone, I'm ready for a fishing report, because I know you'll have one. You've always got some great tips. What is going on out there, and is anybody catching any fish?
Absolutely. Fishing is either, it's really good in certain places, and it's really bad in other places. But basically, Lake Taneycomo right now is on fire. I worked it over the weekend. And guys were just catching the tire out of fish over there, especially up in the trophy range or the trophy area, which is basically from Fall Creek up to the wire just below the dam. Individuals were throwing everything from white scuds to white little jigs. Keep in mind there is special regulations in that area, no live bait or anything like that up there. Corn and cheese is not allowed, but your lures, your individual lures are allowed up there, and people were having some really good success over there. Also, down by the landing, down by Bass Pro's landing and down, some very excellent bass fishing is going on over there right now. Individuals are throwing the large crankbait, jerkbait, and reeling them pretty fast over there, and that is creating it's triggering the fish response to feed. And I'll tell you, there's some really good fish being caught on Lake Taneycomo right now. And I'll tell you, there's nothing prettier than reeling up a nice largemouth bass over there on Taneycomo. The colors of those fish are just magnificent. They are green, dark greens and black, because they've been in that cold water. They're just really a beautiful fish. They seem to fight very well because I guess that cold water, you know, just keeps them more relaxed. And whenever they're feeding, they have a lot of energy. So water temperature over there on Taneycomo stays right in that 55, 54, 57 degree range. So mid-50s, the fish are very lively, especially when you get down to the landing. The water warms up a little bit, and that's a good place to find your largemouth. Now, on Table Rock Lake, crappie bite is off and on, depending on the day. But individuals are having good luck on those fishing brush piles. Mainly with live minnows. That's a little different. A lot of people use jigs during the springtime and even in the summertime. But right now, you really need to switch back to your minnows. But if you do like to fish with the jigs, depending on the cloud cover right now, if it's a cloudy day, you might have to go with a dark-colored jig. And on them bright-colored days, you need to fish with a white. Seems to be doing pretty good. So get out there and enjoy the fishing. Walleye fishing right now is kind of in a lull, but we're ready to trigger. It's going to trigger just any second. So go up into your creeks and your streams and your, like James River. You go up James River or Kings River right at the mouth of either one of those rivers, Flat Creek Arm. The walleye are staged and ready to start running up the river. So get out there and fish for those. Those are incredible fish to catch, too. We have a very large population of walleye in Table Rock Lake. So get your boats out, get your reels oiled up, and get out there this weekend. We're going to have some perfect weather. If you're not sitting in a bow stand or a stand for hunting for deer, you should probably be on Table Rock Lake or Taneycomo, either one. And enjoy the weekend.
That's right. And it will be a little bit cooler, so make sure you dress properly, but that should even make it any better for your hunting and fishing this weekend, as we're definitely getting into that fall pattern. Dan, what else is on your mind today?
Well, we got a lot of opportunities coming up for seasons with all the hunting that's coming up. Just make sure before you go out to check your hunting and fishing permits and make sure that you're up to date on those. Everything did expire on the last day of February last year, so I have run into a few deer hunters that thought that they had purchased their deer hunting permits. They're on the auto renew, and with that auto renew, if you got a new debit card or a new credit card, like say your credit card, debit card expired, and so that's the card that you have tied in with the auto renew for our permits, that no longer, it would not have renewed your permit. So it is your responsibility to make sure to look on your app or look in your wallet and to double check to make sure that you have a permit before you hit the field, not after you harvest the deer, but before you go a field, you need to have that permit in your pocket or on your phone, and make sure when you're out there you keep a charged cell phone. So if you do get checked by an agent, you will have it be able to be pulled up, and we can check your permit right there. Whenever your permit does expire and you are set up on auto renew, we do send out 3 emails before that card is deactivated on our system. So check your emails and double check on everything. Make sure that your permits are up to date before you hit the field.
And yeah, and we're on the home stretch, folks. We've got the seasons wrapping up, the year's wrapping up. I mean, not wrapping up because we've talked about several seasons going on for a while. We are also getting in, before we wrap up, probably I'm going to mention it's getting pretty close to time where people may want to start taking some fall drives. Seeing a few leaves changing. We may still be about a week away from the prime opportunity, but you know, especially with hunting season going on, I mean, there are a lot of good trails that aren't, you know, hunting are not permitted, so you can check those out. You just need to be careful, but there's going to be some opportunities here in the next week or so to see some of the beauty of the Ozarks.
Yeah, absolutely, and I too have seen a few of those trees starting to change colors, and I'll tell you, it'll be a good time to go out and do a hike or do something out in nature. We have a lot of conservation areas. We have a lot of conservation areas that have a lot of good hiking. Paul and Ruth Henning place over in Taney County has an excellent trail system to go walk. We also have Busick State Park. That's an excellent place to go walk. So get out and go hike this weekend. You got beautiful temperatures to go out and just take a hike and be in nature. I guess I should have included that earlier. If fishing and hunting is not in your wheelhouse and that's something that you don't enjoy doing, get out and go for a hike. Go out and take some pictures, collect some leaves off of trees, do some tree identification. We're just surrounded by a lot of different trees and stuff that we take for granted every day, and it might be good to pick up one of your tree ID books at a local nature conservation center. We also have a conservation nature center up in Springfield that has some programs this weekend. You can get on Missouri Department of Conservation's website and go to events, and it will show you all the events at the Springfield Nature Center. I know they got some hikes coming up and some special classes up there too. So plenty to do this weekend, Scott. Plenty to do here in the Ozarks.
Yeah, and I will say that the conservation department's like that store. There are several different departments. My wife and I, we're really not much into hunting and fishing. I mean, I can tell you where you can find the fish at the supermarket and the meat as well. I can tell you all that stuff. But as far as the outdoors, that's not it. But when Karen and I go out, we go out to take some of these in these in nature trails. She loves to take pictures. There's a lot of great photographic opportunities out there, so there's probably something that falls into your wheelhouse that you can find through the Missouri Department of Conservation. You've already mentioned it in wrapping up. We'll mention it again. That website's a great place to start.
Absolutely, Scott, and there's just so much information on there. Basically, you can contact your local agents on there. You can contact your local biologist on there. Go to a contact and engage tab, and you can get any information on there that you want. If you need to talk to an individual, those phone numbers are on there too, along with our department headquarters phone numbers. You can get on there and pull it up. And also, I just wanted to mention real quick, with all the hunting seasons going on, we do have an Operation Game Thief hotline here in the state of Missouri where you can remain anonymous if you see something out and about. Whenever you're out taking one of your nature hikes, if you see somebody out there that might be poaching game, you can call 1-800-392-1111 and report that, and an agent will be assigned to it and it will get checked out. But the sooner you call on something like that, the better, because if you wait 2 or 3 days to give us a call, all the evidence may be gone. The individual may be very hard to find and have time to cover his track. So time is an essence of that. So give us a call and let us know about what's going on. Like I said, I'm here in this county by myself right now, so I do rely a lot on the public help to be able to help me protect the wildlife, you know, here in the state of Missouri, and specifically here in Stone County.
Dan, appreciate getting a chance to catch up with you. We'll definitely not wait a couple months to do this again. We'll hook up again and then visit. But we appreciate you and everyone with the Missouri Department of Conservation. Take care of yourself. We'll talk again soon.
Thank you for having me on the show this morning, Scott.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That is Dan Akin from the Missouri Department of Conservation delivering this week's Conservation Report. It's kind of like riding a bike. It's been a while since we got to do a conservation report and a nature service podcast in this studio. Handled it well. It's been a while since Dan Akin had been on the program. He handled it well. Thanks to Dan for being with us today from the Missouri Department of Conservation, our conservation report part of the Nature Service podcast right here on the Branson Podcast Network. I'm Scott McCauley. Have a great day.